Well, good morning. So glad for those who are here this morning and those who are watching online. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I'm a little sad today because I look forward all week long to getting together with everybody here, although I'm not alone. So thank you, George, for coming in. So, and the Lord is with us too. So it's good to be here today. But I miss you guys. I've been looking forward to seeing everybody all week. But the roads were a little sketchy this morning. All the side streets were kind of icy and thought that might be the case with all the rain and dropping temperatures. And I got out on the road earlier this morning to head into the property and was sliding around and just thought we need to protect our people. So that's why we're not in person today. We're online. But I'm so glad that you guys are joining us here today. I encourage you after the service to crank up some good worship music and praise the Lord with your voices today. But today we're just going to have the sermon message here online. A couple announcements before we get started. January calendars are printed. George distributed those to both sides of the entryways today. So when you come in next, whatever time you come in this week for anything, grab a calendar. We've got the January calendars here. And speaking of calendars also, just a reminder, we've got our Voice of the Martyrs prayer calendars out to everybody here a month or so ago. And so now we're getting, of course, into the new year. It's a great time to look to those calendars and lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world today. I know yesterday was for believers in Sri Lanka, and Kim and I took time to lift up our brothers and sisters and ask for God's good and perfect will to send them to those who need to hear the gospel there in Sri Lanka. So just want to encourage you, break out those Voice of the Martyrs calendars and make sure you take a little time to lift up your brothers and sisters in prayer. And be encouraged to know that there are brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world that are praying for us. I love to hear that. That encourages me greatly. Also, a couple things that you'll see on the calendar for Here's Hope Church, when you get your January calendar, and we'll try to get those online here in a day or two, Christmas undecorating. So we will have that coming up. We're thinking Sunday, January 9th, if you want to mark that on your calendar, Sunday, January 9th from noon to 2, and we'll have a fellowship meal as well. So we'll enjoy probably some sandwiches or something and some fellowship here, but we'll take down the Christmas decorations and look forward to having a time together spent in each other's presence and just enjoying that activity together. And then also wanted to let you know, Sunday, January 23rd is our Taylor Schools Day. We've been talking about that a little bit the last couple weeks. So on that Sunday, our thinking is on that Sunday from noon until 2, so just shortly after the worship service that day, we're going to have a time where we are really reaching out to in advance to families at Taylor Schools and inviting them to check out God's Grocery. God's Grocery, if you're watching online and you're not familiar, that's our pantry ministry. It's really cool because it's a little different. Unlike some pantries where there's just designated items that you would come and get those food items, and those are a blessing, that's wonderful. But God's Grocery actually has a multitude of items for you to choose from. It's like a grocery store, and you could go in and pick what is good for your family, what you need. And so we have hygiene items, all kinds of food items, and families are going to be able to come in that day from Taylor Schools and to access that. So just want to put that out there. It's just a way that we tangibly share the love of Christ with people and care for them. So again, that's January 23rd. And if you're a part of the Here's Hope family, we could use a few volunteers that day, and maybe you could help with that. So let's pray as we get started here today. And one of the things I've been doing quite a bit lately is praying the scriptures. So I'm just going to start out by praying. And this is from Psalm 16. And then we'll pray for the preaching of God's word today in the message here. Lord God, you are the only one who can make known to us the path of life, God, and you do that. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word, and thank you for this wonderful psalm, Psalm 16, a messianic psalm, God, that points us to Christ. Thank you for verse 11 here, Lord, speaking of the ascension of the Messiah and him being called back into that fullness of joy, into your presence after completing the work on earth, God. And Lord, thank you that we have this promise as well. Lord, that you make known to each of us the path of life as we trust in Christ and as we have your Spirit, God, and that you give us a fullness of joy, and the fullness of that joy is your presence, God. Thank you, Lord, that you call us not only to fellowship and not only to family duties and responsibilities, God, you call us to unimaginable pleasures in Christ Jesus. Lord, we praise you for that fullness of joy that's found in your presence. Thank you, Lord, that we have your Holy Spirit and we can experience your joy and happiness and meaning and significance each day, Lord, that we can come to you in our devotion and in our faith, Lord, that we have, that you've given us, and experience a taste of that joy today that you have for us, Lord. Thank you. We pray, Lord, that as we look to your word, that you would give us the faith to receive of you, Lord, as we seek your face and as we seek to see you here in the text, Lord, that you would help us, God, as we are submitted to you. Lord, we claim now the promise from your word that you promise to change us, Lord, that you tell us that we are saved on purpose for your glory, but we're saved for a purpose, Lord, to know you. And so, God, we claim that promise that as we do know you, that you change us to make us more like Christ. God, we ask you to do in us what we cannot do for ourselves today. Lord, that you would purify our hearts, create in us, Lord, in our thoughts, new attitudes, new ideas, as only you can do, Lord. So, Lord, we pray that today, during this time in your word, Lord, and throughout the day, and looking forward to the coming year, Lord, in 2022, that you would lead us into a new day and a new way of living, God, by your Spirit, Lord. Even as we walk by your Spirit, Lord, more and more help us to be carried along as we are confident and yielded to you, Lord. And we ask in everything that you would be glorified in your people and through your people today. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, again, happy New Year. I was going to start today with a question for the congregation. So we have part of the congregation here today. And so I'll put this out there. But for those joining online, if you want to participate, feel free to comment there. I don't know that maybe there's some folks that would interact with you there and get some conversation going. But I want to put this question out to you today. Do you guys do New Year's resolutions? Do you do a New Year's resolution? George, do you do a New Year's resolution? Do you? Okay. So I won't ask what that is, but I know a lot of people do that. And I'm not necessarily pro or against New Year's resolutions. I don't typically do that. But there's a good basis for that. Jonathan Edwards, a tremendous preacher, years ago, he wrote a work called 70 Resolutions. If you've ever maybe checked that out, it's a short read, but it's tremendous. I know it's published with another work that he did called Advice to Young Converts, and you can get those. They're both very short, but tremendously impactful and very biblical. And one of those resolutions, or a couple of those resolutions from Jonathan Edwards that I'll share with you today. I'm actually not positive that's included in that book, but I've read it from Jonathan Edwards, and it's probably part of that resolutions from him. But Jonathan Edwards said, resolution one, I will live for God. I will live for God. I resolve to live for God. And then he said, resolution two, even if no one else does, I will. Even if no one else does, I still will live for God. I was reading a little account about a principal at a school who wanted to encourage his teachers. And so he had all his teachers gathered together as they were getting ready to come back to school in the new year. And he said, I want us to all write our New Year's resolutions out of how we can be better teachers. And once we all get those done, I want you to turn those in to me. We're going to put those on post-it notes, put them up on a bulletin board, our resolutions of how we're going to be better teachers. And we'll put those up and we're going to encourage each other. We're going to support each other of how we can keep those resolutions. All the teachers thought that was a great idea. And they wrote those out and they turned those back in to the principal. And he put those up on a big bulletin board. And one of the young teachers there realized, as they were all the teachers gathered around, once the principal had that bulletin board together, they're gathered around looking, and one of the young teachers looked at that board and realized, my resolution's not up there. And she was very upset by that, and she became angry, and she said, I was one of the first ones to turn my resolution in. Where's my resolution? I don't think the principal cares about me. I think I'm not appreciated around here. I'm taken for granted, and that just goes to show what it's like around here. And that principal, I can't even believe him. And she's just ranting and raving and telling the other teachers how untrustworthy the principal is because he didn't include her resolution and he excluded her, and how insulted she was by that. And well, the principal heard her going off and telling other teachers how upset she was, and so he started rummaging around his desk, and man, he was so upset at himself. He thought, what have I done? I can't believe that I lost her resolution. And he actually found it. It was there on his desk, and he had missed it somehow and just got that up on the bulletin board. And he found it, and he took it out and put it on the bulletin board. And her resolution said, I resolved not to let little things upset me anymore. See, some of us sometimes we can have a resolution but not have a real commitment to whatever that resolution is. Well, today, I'm not sure that we're going to necessarily have a sermon series or if we're just going to have some sermons from 1 Corinthians, but I've been spending time in 1 Corinthians today, and today's series, if we're starting a new series, we'll see. I'm going to title it First Things First. As we look at 1 Corinthians. First things first, I want us to start out the new year by looking at things that really matter. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians, if you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 today, and I've titled this sermon, Happy New Year in Christ. Happy New Year in Christ. See, the problem that we run into sometimes with some of our resolutions is that sometimes our resolutions are focused on our happiness, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes our resolutions have to do with our pursuit of happiness, but the problem we have sometimes with resolutions is that we're not focused on the right things, the things that are the riches of God and the things of God and the goodness of God, because we accept a world's version of what happiness is and how to have happiness. And we think of happiness wrongly in a twofold way. We think of what happiness is the absence of, that happiness is the absence of problems, that happiness is the absence of difficulty, or we think that the flip side of that, happiness is the presence of this relationship with this person, or this promotion that I should get, or we think that it's in terms of a certain amount of income or possessions, or if I just had this notoriety or prestige, or if I just work hard and I can get these physical pleasures in my life, then I'm going to have happiness. But real lasting happiness is not found in the presence or the absence often of any of the things that we focus on, that we want us to have. But I want us to have a purpose statement today to maybe help us to find happiness, the happiness that God wants us to have, because I believe that you can experience a great deal of happiness in the new year. I don't think it's entirely wrong. It's somewhat natural to desire happiness. It's not a bad thing, but I really believe that you can experience the best possible happiness in the new year, and that may sound a little shallow to say that. You might be thinking, well, you're preaching something that's man-centered. You know, you're preaching something that's people-centered when we get caught up focused on our happiness. But I believe that there is a sense. You know, God is a good father, the Bible says. And if earthly fathers who are sinful know to give good gifts to their children, I mean, how much more does your Father in heaven give good gifts, especially the presence of the Holy Spirit himself? God does want you to be happy in a sense, but maybe not in the sense that we're thinking today. And I'll just confess to you right now, and maybe a lot of you share this, that I used to have a pet peeve when someone would say to me, God wants me to be happy. To me, that was a red flag right away. I was like, all right, this person is off base in that comment. There's something wrong. There's something amiss. Because I knew what was going to often come after they said, God wants me to be happy, they were going to rationalize or justify something sinful that they were going to pursue. And I saw that many times over. So much so that I had my pat answer. I had my Christianese answer. Anytime somebody would say, God wants me to be happy, And I would say, God cares more about your holiness than your happiness. That was my comeback anytime somebody would say that. But the truth is that there is a sense in which God wants you to be happy, but he wants you to be clear biblically about what his will is and how you can have the happiness that he wants you to have, which is the best possible happiness of all. It is a happiness that comes out of devotion to Christ. It's a happiness that comes out of holiness. It's a happiness that comes out of being set apart for God and enjoying his presence. And in a sense, holiness, being set apart for God, and happiness really are inseparable. They go together. So 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 here, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 today. I'm going to go ahead and read through this. I'm reading from the NIV. You can read from any English translation or otherwise that you have today and follow along. But I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 this morning. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him, you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Our first takeaway this morning that I want us to recognize here from the Word of God, that our riches that we have, our blessing, our happiness, the goodness that we have, they are in Christ. In Christ. Verse 4 and verse 5 there. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him, in Jesus Christ, you have been enriched. You've been blessed. You've been given happiness. You've been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, the Bible says. All blessings that God has for you, every goodness that is from God that he has for you, comes in Christ Jesus. They are through Christ and in Christ and by Christ and for Christ. You have been enriched in every way. It is God. There in verse 1, it is God who has called you by his will. It is his will to call you, for you to experience him and to know him so that he can enrich you in every way. And it is the will of God. It is not of ourselves. It's not this enriching that we have in Christ, this relationship. It's not by our works. It's not by our efforts or our understanding. It's not of ourselves. Verse 2, he has made us his church. He has sanctified us in Christ. He has set us apart. We are set apart by God, for God, called to be his holy people, together with all those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. We are part of the church, the body of Christ, all around the world. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 3 that our election is in Christ. Our election is by him. There in Ephesians 3, verse 3. Our adoption is by him. Our adoption, the remission of our sins, is by Jesus Christ. It's through him. Every grace that God shows us, every expression of his favor to us is through Christ. God calls us through Christ. God hears your prayers through Jesus Christ and your relationship with him. Your forgiveness of your sins, not only initially at salvation, but ongoing, your forgiveness of sins is through Jesus Christ. Your justification, your standing with God and His family is through Christ. Your sanctification, being changed as God takes away the things that aren't of Him, that do not look like Jesus, and adds to you those things and strengthens you in the faith as you are sanctified, this is through Christ. His upholding you is through Christ. His sustaining you is through Christ. His perfecting you is in Jesus Christ. In setting you and I apart as His holy people in Him, God declares that we are His children. And He wants the best for His children. God wants you to experience the very best that He has for you as His children. And this comes by His presence in our lives. Even as the presence of God, yes, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, but the will and the ways of God work their way out into every aspect of who we are and every aspect of our lives as we are in Him, and enriches our lives. And His blessing and His goodness, His riches are promised in a way that meets every real need that you have. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." All that we have that is good and pleasing and perfect, that is of God, all of it is in Christ Jesus. And everything that we can expect to have, and the receipt of all of His promises, everything comes by Christ because of His faithfulness. The Bible says that even when we are faithless, that He is faithful. Our salvation, our redemption are in Christ. In Christ you have been set free. In Christ Jesus you have open access all the time to the presence of God. In Christ, what the Bible's telling us here, enriched in every way, in Christ you have it all. In Christ you have it all. Our second big idea for today, we are enriched in every way according to the Word of God. Again, verses 4 and 5 there in 1 Corinthians. "I always thank my God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in Him you have been enriched." You have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. Not in some ways you've been enriched, and now you need to work really hard to be enriched the rest of the ways. But in every way, you have been, not just in a few ways. One person enriched in a few ways, and somebody else has been enriched in some other ways. But the Bible says, in every way, you have been enriched. And then this description, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. With all kinds of speech and all knowledge. Not in some ways, but in all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. Christ enriches our lives, enriches us in every facet of life for the glory of God. He enriches your desires so that the desires you have start lining up with His desires, that you have good desires, desires that are in accordance with the will of God. He gives you better desires, especially the desire for an increased pleasure in His presence, an increased desire for God. And then He satisfies those desires. God says in His Word that as you delight yourself in God, He gives you the desires of your heart. The more you desire of Him, the more you understand you have Him. Christ also enriches what you do with what He gives you. His enrichment is in every way, in all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. He's enriching your heart. The Bible, when it says, with all kinds of speech, the words of your mouth are the overflow of what's in your heart. So God is enriching what's in your heart. He's blessing what's in your heart and giving you a heart full of love and grace and gratitude, and a heart that desires His holiness, and a heart that's full of the good things of God, the grace of God. And then that starts overflowing in how you speak and what you say and you don't say, as your heart just overflows with the grace of your Savior. And the Bible also says that he is enriching your mind in all knowledge as your mind is renewed. The Bible tells us that we are to bring every thought in submission to God, every thought captive to Jesus Christ under his governance. And as he is Lord of your thoughts, he is working out more and more awareness of his goodness to you and the blessing that you have in relationship to him in your life. In every way, honoring him, in every way, acknowledging God in your life. Christ enriches our lives so much, the Bible says, that along with Paul, we begin to realize that to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's how much he enriches our lives. So much so that to live is a blessing, because to live, we can know Christ more in this life and then make him known to other people. That it's profitable to other people as we point them to Jesus Christ and his goodness and what a treasure he is. And then even to the point, though, that we understand with Paul that even in death, even if we are martyred, that we go to be with Christ, and in this, there is great gain for us. Paul said, whatever it cost me, I count it all loss for the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ as my Savior. And we have that as well. We have that same relationship, that same blessing, that same enriching in our lives, that whether in our life or in our death, we experience the blessing and the enriching of Jesus Christ. So how can we be more aware and live in this enrichment that we have in Christ? Because sometimes we lose sight of this. Sometimes we get caught up with desiring things that are not what God desires for us, or thinking on things that are not the thoughts of Christ that he has for us. How can we have this fullness of experience of this enriching that is ours in Christ Jesus? Well, first of all, we need to cultivate that desire for God. Above everything else, we need to cultivate that desire for God. We need to desire God above everything else. He is in himself the supreme treasure above all things. And so he can tell us, when you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. When I am the greatest treasure, when you understand, you have me. This is a promise from God, that when you seek me with all your heart, then you will find me. Jesus puts it this way, Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and he sold all that he had and he bought that field. Jesus is telling us here in this text that we have to be willing to stop chasing after lesser treasures. That we have in Christ, we have this tremendous wealth that is promised to each of us. We have this enriching in all things. But if we're chasing after popularity with the world, we're not going to receive this wondrous experience that he has of treasuring the approval of God. That if we are worshiping our own safety and our own comfort, if that's the treasure of our life, we're going to miss out on the fullness of the experience that he has promised for us of this intimacy with him, when we don't care about our safety or our comfort, but we're just following along by faith, following his Spirit and what he can do in our lives to make him known. If we are denying ourselves these temporary things of this world that don't have any lasting satisfaction, even some of the good things of this life, we're going to miss out on this fullness of joy that could only come when he is our highest treasure. Being a Christian goes so far beyond just a knowledge of truth. It is so important. The Word of God is a foundation, is a solid foundation for us, for the Christian life. And it is a treasure I love the Word of God. Almost every morning, one of my things that I thank the Lord for is thanking Him for the treasure of His Word. But God Himself is a treasure. God Himself is a treasure that He promises. He is the ultimate treasure. And receiving and valuing and savoring that treasure, God Himself, that it changes everything in our life. It enriches everything in our life when we understand that we have this greatest treasure. It changes everything. In the Christian life, you know, we know from the Word of God that we're to make disciples. And so we start thinking about evangelism. How am I going to share the gospel with this individual? But in Christ, it's so much more than just persuading people of truth. It's sharing a treasure. When we invite somebody to come and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's not just, hey, you need to get your thinking straight. It's God is inviting you to receive the most valuable treasure you could ever receive. And it's Himself. It's Himself. And people need to understand, and we need to not lose sight of that, that we have a treasure that we can share, and it's not diminished when we share that treasure with other people. We have the greatest treasure in the world, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 12, to all who receive Jesus, to all who believe in His name, He gives the right to become children of God. When we believe upon Jesus, when we trust in Him, that's what that means. When we trust in Jesus, we receive Him. We receive Him as what? As just some information? No. As some detached creator, deity? No. We receive Him as a personal treasure that no other treasure compares to. That He becomes so prized that we understand when anything else is there filling our heart as a desire, it's out of place, because only Jesus is of that surpassing value, that He should be prized and treasured and savored as the treasure of our hearts. You know, faith, the Bible tells us that it is by grace through faith in the Son of God that we come into relationship with God the Father. And I know some people, especially those outside of the Christian life, they might think, well, faith is just wishful thinking. Or faith is pretending something is real that maybe isn't real. And that's not it at all. Trusting in Jesus Christ is experiencing and seeing a treasure that is more real than anything else, but unseen. It's a treasure that we don't see face to face yet, and yet is completely real. The good fight of the faith in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that Paul speaks of, it is a fight for experiencing Jesus Christ in such a way, experiencing our Savior in such a way that He becomes more and more in reality in our lives what He truly is, which is the most precious treasure there could ever be. And it's not just for our pleasure. As wonderful and gracious and good as all that is for us and for our happiness, as we savor Jesus Christ, it shows to all of creation, to all the rest of the world who's watching, and even in the unseen world who's watching, that Jesus is supremely valuable. That's what He is. That He is the source of the greatest good and the greatest pleasure and the greatest happiness. You know, why is God the Father so clear in promising us a fullness of joy? Why is He so clear that He wants to enrich our lives in every way? Well, because he loves us, for one, but it's for his glory. It's for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians there in chapter 1 in verse 6, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Paul saying, listen, God is enriching your life in every way, inwardly, in your heart and in your mind and in your thinking and working outward into your life so that you can comprehend the fullness of the grace that you have. In Christ Jesus, he's doing this so that our testimony about Christ being of supreme value will be confirmed in you, so that you will have the testimony in your life and be a testimony to others that Jesus Christ is exactly what the Word of God says he is, that he is the greatest treasure that you can know, that he is Lord and that he is Savior. Pastor John Piper, an expression that he's famous for, and he writes about quite a bit, and I think it's a wonderful expression. He says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God wants you to delight in him. God wants you to experience this extreme joy in every area of your life in Christ. It's never apart from him. In Christ Jesus, and as that happens, it's evidence. You become part of the proof. As you experience this fullness of joy, as you experience the enriching of your life in every way, you become part of the proof that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. Verse 7, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. There is a day coming when we will see Jesus face to face, and that joy is going to be turbocharged for me. I am so excited for that day and the ongoing joy that we'll have, because we do live in a world where there is a lot of sorrow. We live in a world where there is brokenness and sin. We live in a world where there is seeing through a glass dimly of the realities of God. But we will have a day when we will see him as he is, where we will know him as he knows us. But until that day, God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit that we will experience this wondrous truth that Jesus is the highest treasure. I was reading about a tax collector who was talking to a pastor. And this pastor didn't have much income. He was fairly poor by the world's standards. And this tax collector was speaking with the pastor in order to ascertain how much taxes this pastor owed. And so they were having a conversation. And the tax collector said, you know, give me a general understanding here of how much wealth you have. And the pastor said, well, in Christ, I'm a very wealthy man. And he told the tax collector, he said, in Christ, I have the possession of a Savior who is worth more than anything else in this world. I have a Savior who has purchased by his very life, by him giving his body and his blood on the cross for me. I have a Savior who has purchased everlasting life for me. I have a Savior who has promised me a priceless home in heaven with him someday. I have a Savior who has given me the promise of eternal life with him in the eternal city. He said, God has blessed me also with a wife who is virtuous. And the Bible tells me that my wife is more valuable than gold and rubies because she loves Christ. He said, I have children who are walking with the Lord. And the Bible tells me that when you have children who know the Lord, that brings a great joy to your heart. And he said, I have that. When the pastor had finished speaking with the tax collector said, you are a very rich man. Unfortunately, you don't have much I can tax. You don't have much of the wealth that I'm concerned with. But I want to tell you today that when you have Christ, you lack nothing. And if you are experiencing anything of this life that feels like a deficit, God has made a provision for that. You know, there are times that I lack beauty in who I am, in my heart or in my thoughts. But God promises to change that, to deal with that, to bring beauty into the midst of things that are broken in me. There's certainly a multitude of ways in which I lack holiness. And yet God says, I'm giving you the provision of my Holy Spirit to do a work in you, to give do a work of grace and to change you. There's times that I may feel like I am still a slave to something. But God says that in Christ, I have given you freedom. Christ says it's for freedom that he has set us free. There's times that maybe you think, I don't have much significance in my life. That's all great for you, Pastor, but I don't have much significance or meaning. My life doesn't have an impact, but God promises to work in you and through you to make himself known to other people. You've got the greatest of all ministries and missions. The ministry of reconciliation, sharing Christ with other people. You have the ability to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. Maybe you think, you know, I lack companionship. I'm lonely. But God says that he is a friend to us who will never leave us or forsake us, that he is with us all the time. Maybe you have times like I do where you lack peace. But God says, I give you my peace. Not as the world gives. Jesus gives an abiding peace that can only come in him. In every way, God meets our lack and our need with his provision, his riches in Christ Jesus. It all begins with meeting the greatest need that we have, which is salvation. You know, maybe you're watching today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I want to tell you that God has provided the supreme treasure for you, the absolute ultimate happiness, the ultimate joy, the absolute good, the best life you could ever have. But it doesn't come from the things of this world. There are people who wrongly teach that if you just come to Jesus, you can get all the happiness you want by chasing after and receiving the things of this world. That's not where happiness is found. Yes, in his goodness, sometimes God has purposes in giving a great education or giving standing at a job that you have or giving financial wealth in some way that you can use to honor him or to serve him, but that is not where happiness is found. Not in those things in themselves. It's in Christ Jesus. So do you have that? Do you have that treasure? Do you have that treasure hidden in a field that's worth selling, forsaking everything else to take your eyes off of the desires that the world's chasing after so that you can freely receive the greatest treasure of all, Jesus Christ? God says if you will acknowledge your need, if you will come to God and you'll say, God, I have been chasing after things in this world, all the pleasures of this world, and nothing is bringing joy. I'm still broken. I'm still walking in darkness. I'm still a mess. If you will come to God with just, God does great things with honesty. I can tell you from the Word of God, and I can tell you from my own experience, when you get honest with God, he can do incredible things with that. Because honesty with God means that you're starting to align your thinking with his thinking now. And if you will just acknowledge your need, if you'll say, God, I need you. I need you. And I'm willing to forsake chasing after everything else to turn towards you and freely receive what you want to give me. He wants to give you salvation. He wants to give you life. And that is given in the giving of himself. And so you say, God, I want to receive you. I want to receive Christ as my Savior and my Lord. If you will do that today, if you will take God at his word, that's what faith is. Take God at his word. You can receive right now, in this moment, you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he will give you grace. He will give you his love. He will give you himself. And not only come to be your Savior, but he will come because he is Lord, and he will be your Lord. And that means that he will start to govern your life and to lead you, which is the best thing that could happen. I've been walking with the Lord a long time. I don't want to tell you, I can be a knucklehead when I'm trying to run my life myself. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I'm just going to apply some biblical principles, but we still have our hands, a death grip on the steering wheel of our life. And God says, no, you need to trust me to lead you. Trust me to govern you. And he will do that. If you will do that today, you can experience in the coming year the happiest new year possible. It doesn't mean you won't have difficulty. It doesn't mean you won't have heartache. Jesus promised. He said, you're going to have troubles in this world. There's actually some very particular troubles that Christians have that you didn't have before you were a Christian. But it's still the ultimate good for you. That's what God promises. You will experience everything you do experience with him when you were in Christ. And that's the greatest thing. I want to wish you a happy new year in Christ. There is no other desire I could have for you, a prayer that I could have for you, I think that would be greater than that, that you would be in Christ Jesus, that you would trust in him, that you would know him as your Savior and your Lord. And if you do, understand that in Christ he has enriched you in every way. He has enriched you and your life in every way. Sometimes we get a little muddled in our thinking and our desires and we lose sight of that. But it is in God's will and his ways and in his word that we have the greatest of treasures, that we have the promise of the happiest new year possible. God promises to meet you with his provision according to his word, whatever you ask for, according to his word, according to his will for you, according to your need, and then also according to your faith. The Lord said, unless you believe, you shouldn't expect to receive. But it doesn't mean that you receive the things that are not of God. It has to be according to the will of God for his glory. Sometimes what I have to ask for is the faith to believe. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to trust you and believe you for great things for your glory in the coming year. Thank you again for joining us today. I'm going to close in prayer. And we have the church phone here. It's 765-434-5841. If we can help you in any way today to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we would love to do that. Or maybe today that you just need some prayer, you're discouraged in some way, and we could pray for you. We'd love to do that. Maybe you've got a great praise you'd like to share with us. We would like to share that with you today. So you can reach out to us again, 434-5841. I'm going to close us in prayer. This is from 2 Corinthians 13. And again, I want to encourage you today, keep your eyes fixed on Christ, trust in him. It's going to be a great year as we are on the page that he's writing for our year, because he is an awesome God. And he has good plans for his people, for his glory. And so I believe we can be confident and expectant in that in the coming year. Lord Jesus, thank you that you give us the instruction, the direction, the command to rejoice. To rejoice that you have restored us. You have redeemed us. You have saved us. You've brought us into a family that you are the head of. And you give us life. You give us peace. You tell us in your word that you give us good desires. You give us this one mind that we share together as the body of Christ, with you as the head. Lord, thank you that you are a God of love and a God of peace and a God of grace who is with your people. Lord, thank you that you give us an affection for you, a desire for you. Even as we respond to your overwhelming love for us, you give us love and desire back for you and a sacred affection for each other, Lord, in the body of Christ. Lord, thank you. What a privilege and, God, what a pleasure it is to belong to your church. Certainly as your church at Here's Hope, but God, your church in Kokomo, your church in Kokomo, your church in Indiana, your church all around the world today, God, what a wonderful thing it is to belong to you. Thank you, Lord, that all of your church is a recipient of your grace and your love. All of your church has your abiding fellowship in the Holy Spirit. God, we pray for your church around the world today who is experiencing persecution and opposition and something that doesn't look like the world's version of something to be happy about. But Lord, because of the life that we have in us, because of the faith that you gift to us, God, we know that no matter where we are, that we can worship you for who you are and for what you do and for your presence, God. So I pray today that your Holy Spirit would do what only you can do for your church, especially the church today that is struggling in difficulties, God. Immerse your church in your Spirit. Carry your people along, God, by your Spirit today. Because you are faithful, Lord, help your church to be faithful. God, we pray for those who are persecuting your church today that they would come to know you not as an enemy, but as the greatest of treasures. That even as your church, Lord, is a wonderful witness through their testimony, confirming who you are, Lord, that there would be those who would see that and see the presence of your Spirit and who would put their trust in Christ today. Lord, thank you that no matter who we are in Christ, no matter what we have or don't have, we can say, today I am rich. Today I am enriched in every way. Today I am wealthy in Christ Jesus. Because if I have or don't have anything else, I have Christ. I have the greatest treasure possible. Lord, thank you again for your word and the truth of it. God, I pray by your Spirit today and going forward into 2022, we will rejoice in the year that the Lord has made. We ask in Jesus' name and we ask, Lord, for your glory.